The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Helene's the third deadliest hurricane in American history, right behind Katrina and Sandy. If you survived, you're living without food, power, a roof over your head, and you're begging for help.
We're not getting the amount of support that we need.
We haven't seen FEMA. We haven't seen Red Cross. We haven't seen Hearts with Hands. We've seen no agencies come through here. Most people drive through with their cameras out, filming us like we're animals in a zoo, and don't stop.
How could the government do us like this? And how could the whole country just forget about us? Like, it's not enough. What is being done is not enough. I mean, there are entire communities that have been just decimated. There is, I mean, where is our government? I mean, for Kamala, and I am an avid supporter for her to stand in Florida today and make a statement. Where is our government?
And the federal relief and assistance that we have been providing has included FEMA providing $750 for folks who need immediate needs being met. If you have electricity, can be applied for online, and I encourage people to do that.
$750, there's people that have lost everything, their home, their everything, that they, priceless items that were thousands of dollars, and I'm not expecting her to give us thousands of dollars, but they can do more than that, and that, that's not worth anything.
Here today in Swannanoa, North Carolina, one of the hardest hit towns by Hurricane Helene. There's no government here. There's no FEMA.
Sources say over 1,000 troops in North Carolina are just sitting around doing nothing, waiting for orders that haven't come. They haven't heard from the North Carolina governor, and the Biden administration's blocking ongoing rescue operations.
They're in the way. They are directly interrupting our ability to conduct missions and operations. And I'm not going to disparage anybody, because we are trying to work within partner relationships, both government and non-government entities within state and federal and county. I went to put a couple of people into a hotel last night, and they have a security guard at the hotel. And he said, oh, we're so sorry. The entire hotel has been booked for federal employees. And I was like, no, I have people that were just pulled out of a mountain.
I saw two Air Force helicopter 60s, and I knew there were PJs just looking at them. And I went up to him like, hey guys, like, what are y'all doing? And like, this is what you need to be doing. This is how I'm finding people. And they're like, we can't go. We're waiting on Title 10 orders. And I'm like, what? It is just the most disgusting thing. And they're killing these people. And I don't know why they're doing it. I don't know what kind of conspiracy. I've heard so many things, whatever you want to come up with, but they are literally allowing these people to die in the mountains right now because we can't get helicopters.
If you're not angry, you should be. Because this is what our government thinks about us. They're not here to help us. We have to take care of ourselves. This is bad, people. You're not here. It is very bad. But there's no operations going on. I'm sick to my stomach that our government treats our American people this way. And then when they get slapped in the face, oh, here's $750.
This is where we are right now. Billions of dollars to Ukraine, billions of dollars to Taiwan, billions of dollars for illegal migrants that came over the border, $750 for the people of the Appalachian Mountains, the epicenter of this is what this has been building up to. And you know what? After sitting here and watching how disastrously the Harris administration handles what is going on in North Carolina, if you were going to vote for her, you.
How have you felt the response has been so far?
It's too late. I mean, it took 5 days for Biden to come here, and he didn't think we were worth coming down to see himself. He had to fly over on his way to Raleigh. It's disgraceful. I mean, they keep saying we the people. No, there is no we the people. It's them versus us. So they're not for us. It's all about them. They tell us what we need instead of listening to us.
I tell you, there comes a point where you don't even really know what to say. I mean, I was listening to all these reports on the news last night as I'm driving back from Arkansas, and I just, you know, your blood boils. You're upset. You're angry. But what do you say other than America's under attack? Attack from within. I mean, we've seen this play out before on a smaller scale, like with Benghazi, you know, the dear leader. He just abandons those few Americans, lets them get murdered. Here, though, I mean, 220 people are now dead. Hundreds are still missing. You don't hear about it except on Fox News and Newsmax. The others, they just don't cover it. Yeah, it's not an emergency. It's not like Katrina. It's not like Sandy. It's just something that we're going to cover up because, you know, it's too close to the election. And we have to make sure that Kamala, we have to make sure that the dear leader, we have to make sure that the fake president, that they all look good and that everything is just perfect. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. I didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, but there's a lot to cover. Thankfully, we've got quite a few clips that we can line up here and play for you. And you can see it for yourself. One thing I did do for show prep, I fast-forwarded through the first 18, 19 minutes of Morning Joe. Guess what the topics were? Well, you've got the New York Mets. We can talk. They've got eight people, I think, on the round table or hooked up through video. Big old panel discussion about baseball for the first 4 or 5 minutes. And then the next 10 minutes, Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, he endorsed Kamala. Did you know? I mean, he filmed it. The statement was brilliant, said Joe. You know, I'm going to have to come up with a new nickname besides Morning Meltdown. Now it's like morning Pollyanna. I mean, everything's just wonderful. Everything's beautiful. The whole world is just swimming in joy. They were talking about Bruce Springsteen's flannel shirt, even. He looked good. It was in a diner that maybe you've visited. Just you, the ordinary Joe. And then the statement, so brilliant. Unifying. 18 minutes. It wasn't until the tail end. Then they got into Trump, of course. Trump's a liar. There you go. What about all these victims of this hurricane that's not even a week old? I guess it's just been a week now. About a week. The storm rolls in. It decimates entire communities. Hundreds are still missing. And as you heard in that cold open, they can't find FEMA. They can't find the feds. Nobody's helping them. Look at how the feds rush to help. I mean, in the case of Hamas, Israel strikes back after October 7, and then we're over there building a pier? I think it lasted for 3 weeks before it collapsed. $200 million. Yeah, throw it at Hamas. I mean, we've got billions for Pakistan. We've got billions for Iran. We've got billions for the Taliban. We've certainly got billions, hundreds of billions for Ukraine. And we've got billions for the migrants. How about the news that broke yesterday? FEMA's out of money because they've used their money for disaster relief. They've used it to resettle migrants. You had Eric Trump on Fox News last night talking about 150 hotels in New York City. I mean, fancy ones, expensive hotels. They're completely full of migrants. And who's paying the bill? You are, of course. Come on. We've got to pay I mean, how much per night? Probably hundreds and maybe thousands for some of these hotels. The hotels, I guess they're happy because the government's paying the price tag. We've got money for everybody. And what do we have for the victims in Western North Carolina, in Georgia, in Eastern Tennessee? Well, we've got $750, assuming you can get online. I mean, if you're stranded somewhere in the middle of a flood and you can't get online, as soon as you can, hey, you've got $750 coming your way. How are these people not run out of town or run off the set just instantly? Look, I'm happy to talk about a little bit of sports or music from time to time. But 18 minutes worth at a time like this? You've got Americans suffering. And the feds say, you know, we really can't do much about it. The New York Post this morning, feds say there's no money left for hurricanes after it spent $1.4 billion on immigrants. I mean, that's just FEMA's part. This is costing local governments, city managers, tens of billions of dollars. I'll get to that when we have time, if we have time later. Billions and billions for illegals coming from all over the world. Who does this? It shows you that we're being attacked from within. They hate you. They hate you. If you don't help them politically, they hate you. They abandon you. They disown you. They don't care about you. How cruel is this? Where's the love and the mercy? These people talk about joy and vibes and, unity. And then the fake president the other day, I played it before. Yeah, there's no more resources left. Mayorkas, same thing. Yeah, we don't have any more money. Sorry, we're out of money. Say the people that spend money like drunken sailors. But it's all for their programs, you see. They're not going to spend it. They're not going to spend it on these small rural communities in Western North Carolina. No, of course not. We just don't have anything left. There's nothing left in the piggy bank. Listen to this hurricane survivor. He's from Western North Carolina, clip 20.
We need the help. A whole town was wiped out. And I'm talking about everybody was killed. Okay, the media is lying to you. And well, we need the help. We need it bad. We can't go help. Can't go save anybody. We've been threatened. We'll get arrested. I can't imagine the people that are still up there holding on to survive. I mean, we still got electric trucks going all over the place here. Got trees down, tree on my house in the back. But it's incredible. It's incredible that we, the people, are willing to let the government tell us that we are not allowed to save our own people.
It's not even just that the government's turning a blind eye to what's happening in the Southeast. They're standing in the way. They're threatening people. You hear all of these heroic stories. One guy, he's in NASCAR, he's got a helicopter, and he's flying in and out, trying to help people, trying to deliver them, you know, goods, services, food. And they're being told, no, don't go in there. If you go in there, you're going to get arrested. What? Who does this? You know, another way to look at this story, obviously, the people in the Southeast, they're being pounded by curses. These are curses. There's no getting around that. But this fake illegitimate administration that's just 32, 33 days away from another election, they're being pounded as well. No wonder they're in hiding. No wonder they don't do any interviews. What do you say? What do you say? All you can do is just try to ignore this. And that's another reason why this isn't being covered. It's not just because, well, they're red states. It's, you know, they're not going to vote for us anyway. I mean, they know. Joe Obama knows this is a disaster of epic proportions. It's getting worse by the day. The numbers continue to go up. The casualties, the deaths. And they don't want you to see just how incompetent they are. They don't want you to see how they've abandoned these people, their own fellow Americans. Listen to Mayorkas. This is a contrast. Months ago, at the first part of this clip, he's the head of DHS. I mean, he's just concerned about your security, homeland security. And he's saying just how prepared. You know, they can certainly talk the talk. Months ago, he says, yeah, we're prepared for everything. We're prepared for the hurricane season. And then you follow that up with what he said this week. We just don't have any money left. Clip 21.
FEMA is tremendously prepared. This is what we do. This is what they do. And the key here, Rebecca, is also to make sure that the communities who are potentially impacted are prepared as well. And it's not just hurricanes and wildfires, also extreme heat, which certainly some parts of the United States are already experiencing.
Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas sounding the alarm on FEMA funding right after the devastation of Hurricane Helene. Listen.
We are meeting the immediate needs with the money that we have. We are expecting another hurricane hitting. We do not have the funds. FEMA does not have the funds to make it through the season.
This all comes as the Biden-Harris administration spent over $1 billion from a FEMA program on services for migrants.
Yeah, they're using FEMA, not for disaster relief. What does it even stand for? FEMA, Federal Emergency something, right? So it's for an emergency. The way they view it, hey, the people coming in from Venezuela, from Qatar, from Afghanistan, from China, that's where the emergency funds belong. We've got to help them stay in 4-star hotels in New York City. 150 of them, full up of migrants. Die by suicide, as Lincoln said. This is from the chairman or one of the members on the House Budget Committee. It's from a few months ago. Just to show how eager they are to spend your tax dollars on everyone except American citizens. Clip 13.
The greatest national security threat to the American people is posed by these open borders. So the social cost, I think, has been well in front of the American people consistently. But I don't think we've talked enough about the financial burden to taxpayers and the fiscal impact. FAIR has done a great job. I've seen studies that suggest the cost is upward of $400 billion. Their cost estimate is at $150 billion. The lion's share of that cost is borne by state and local governments. And friends, state and local governments can't borrow or print money like the federal government. And so they're having to balance their budgets by either absorbing this cost through raising taxes, or they're having to cut services to their citizens. The $150 billion, when you look at the 22 million people that are estimated to be in this country illegally, comes out to about $9,000 tax dollars per illegal immigrant.
$9,000 per illegal. An estimated $150 billion for the illegals. local officials, authorities, state governments, they're having to bear the burden of this cost. But then you've got the feds. You've got Joe Obama just looking through every government agency. Hey, where can we get some money for these illegals so that we can settle them into New York and Ohio and hopefully turn some of these purple states to dark blue? Meanwhile, Americans, you heard it there. That was from May. He said these local and state governments, they're having to cut services for citizens. Well, we're seeing that play out in real time. Services are not just being denied, they're being cut, they're being reduced. The government's in there getting in the way. $750. You know, she said that with a straight face. I mean, she had to kind of look at her notes. Let's see, what do I say next? Oh, hey, if you really need it, we've got $750. Now, if you can just get online, wherever you are. So many people are without service, internet service, electricity. They can't get to the gadgets. That's happening right now in America. Laura Ingraham was right last night. She talked about how that is this really the way a superpower functions? This is like third world nation activity. It's worse than that. There's a sinister motive behind it, you see. Listen to what Ingraham, this isn't from last night, it was from a few nights ago, but she's talking here about Kamala's lack of preparedness. FEMA wasn't ready. Everybody knew it was going to be a Cat 3 or 4 storm. Mayorkas said they were ready, but they weren't. And certainly Kamala, for her part, she was. Trump beat both Kamala and the fake president to the scene. Isn't that amazing? My father says, by the way, in America Under Attack, he goes through the prophecy in Amos 7 and he says, you know, there's a pause between the Trump presidencies, but the way that Trump's coming back, in other words, but he said the way that the language is expressed there in Amos 7, it's as if Trump is still the president because that's the way God views it. They stole the last 4 years. Well, then you look at this disaster, and Trump is the first one there. And then you look at the radical left, and they're treating him like he's an incumbent. It's like everybody knows he's the real leader. Okay. And if you're the radical left, we've got to stop him because we don't want his policies going forward. I mean, they speak almost as if he's in the Oval Office. They campaign against him as if he's the incumbent. He is the actual president. That's the truth. That's the way God views it. The other side is fake. And they're near the end of the fundamental transformation of the United States. This is Ingraham talking about Kamala's lack of preparedness. Clip 23.
We're learning tonight that Kamala Harris did not do the annual hurricane preparedness briefings that her predecessor Mike Pence did in the Trump administration, and most administrations do on an annual basis. You could see that you don't want to just jump into a hurricane or prep for a hurricane if you don't know anything about it. She, according to the reports tonight, had not attended a single hurricane preparedness briefing during her time in office. Does that matter?
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, look at the administration's terrible response with regard to Hurricane Helene this week. Look how terrible Biden and Harris were responding to East Palestine. This is really more of their MO.
In an earlier era of the United States of America, she obviously resigns in shame and then disappears forever. But not today. She didn't attend a single briefing on preparing for hurricanes or disasters. And they search and they search and they search for a few more dollars to send to Ukraine or to Hamas or to the illegals that are filling up the hotels in Manhattan. Plenty of money. for non-citizens, 750 for the citizens that have lost everything. American Mind, it says, the devastation Hurricane Helene has wrought on much of Appalachia and Western North Carolina in particular presents an unfortunate occasion to examine what the U.S. military is doing to secure the American way of life. You heard it in the cold open there. Jesse was saying how that, you know, the military, the National Guard, they're just kind of, they're on standby, waiting to receive orders. Yeah. No help. In fact, threats. Threats against ordinary citizens that are out there trying to save their neighbors, help their neighbors. Unfortunately, the military's dismal response so far shows that they are unwilling to provide for the American people at a time of dire need. Days after Hurricane Helene and the Biden administration finally activated up to 1,000 soldiers to support the delivery of food, water, and medicine to isolated communities. But these efforts are too little, too late. Compare this. Listen to this. They went after Bush hard over Katrina. I mean, it was day two, and they're like, where are you? Why aren't you down there? Compare this to the military's response after Katrina in 2005, when thousands of troops were mobilized within 7 hours of receiving orders as the situation spiraled out of control. Within hours. Thousands of troops. Bush, he may not have gotten down there until day three or four, I forget which. But at least he's on the horn saying, hey, get the help in there. I mean, this is New Orleans. It's pretty much a blue city. They went after Bush. I'm not sure if Morning Joe was around at that time, 2005. But today they're talking about Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, he came out and he endorsed Kamala, and it was brilliant. He looked good. He sounded great. The backdrop was, I mean, like a Hollywood production. This is all these people care about. A fake Hollywood production. A narrative. A script. And you see it when Kamala actually does go and finally visit the disaster scene. She doesn't know what she's doing. He doesn't, the fake president, he doesn't know either. It's like they're wandering around. And then you turn on Morning Joe, and what do you hear? You get to hear about the New York Mets and the rock star. And it goes on for the entirety of the opening segment. It's really unbelievable. As I say, it almost leaves you speechless. Hours, within hours, they were activated. Going back to 2005. Apparently, it's not worth a call to the soldiers of the 101st Air Assault Division, who are 7 hours away. The 2nd Marine Division, which is stationed only a few hours away from Fort Liberty, is standing by. But the people of North Carolina only seem to be worth sending a small contingent of active duty troops, some phone calls from Delaware, and a few photo opportunities. Other than that, hey, you're pretty much on your own. And we're going to get in there and threaten people that are actually trying to help their neighbors. Corey Mills, he's a former military man, and he was on with Laura Ingraham last night on her program. Listen to a bit of this, clip 15.
I saw my first FEMA truck today, and they admitted that they just got here this morning. And meanwhile, yesterday, Laura, you had President Biden, who came in here, shut down our actual capabilities for up to 4 hours, putting a 30-mile TFR after abandoning this place for, you know, 6 days. You know, unfortunately, it's not named Ukraine, North Carolina, or they would have already had enough money.
He's exactly right. And here's a guy, I mean, he's a member of Congress, and he's out there helping. He's out there. He's had some pretty amazing analysis on the shooter as well, Crooks, the assassination attempt. Remember that? That's not discussed on Morning Joe either. No, You got Springsteen, though. I mean, if you want to learn about the baseball playoffs and the rock star and who he's going to vote for, segment two was probably on Taylor Swift. I didn't stay around long enough to watch. It says here, this is the American Mind. It goes without saying that Fort Liberty's 82nd Airborne Division, located just outside of Fayetteville, North Carolina, could send far more help. While there's no need to seize an airfield with airborne forces, the security environment is uncertain, with countless reports of looting and violence. The 82nd Airborne serves as America's global response force. I mean, they're ready. They are ready to respond globally. But when it's in their own backyard, no, that's not very important. Just let them starve. Let them drown. Let them be suffocated to death. A brigade of paratroopers from the 82nd is always less than 24 hours away from massing combat power anywhere in the world. It is not as if disaster relief is outside the purview of a combat-ready unit like the 82nd. Paratroopers from Fort Liberty joined in Hurricane Andrew relief efforts in 2004, and they patrolled the streets of New Orleans in defense against looting in response to Hurricane Katrina. I mean, looting is, there's a lot of good Samaritans, but there's a lot of looting that's going on too. There's been footage of, you know, people saying as much. Yeah, we're getting goods and services in, but some of it's being stolen. It says the global war on terror and international tension elsewhere did not stop the rapid deployment of critical U.S. military power to Haiti after a natural disaster. A mere 48 hours after Haiti experienced a devastating earthquake in 2010, the 2nd Brigade Combat Team of the 82nd Airborne landed in Port-au-Prince to provide security and humanitarian assistance. We do it for everyone in the world, but not for our own people. How do you explain this? What's behind this? I've talked in recent programs about, with respect to the assassination attempts, about the spirit of murder, the spirit of hatred. That's what we're seeing here in another way, in a different way. But people are dying. They're leaving them to die. They're abandoning them to die. Hurricane Helene comes amidst a dangerous international security environment. Iran launched hundreds of missiles at Israel on October 1st. The Russia-Ukraine war grinds on and the Pacific inches closer to conflict. Obviously, the 82nd stands committed to respond to all of these threats at once, but not to the disaster that's unfolding right in its backyard, right next door. They're there. They're minutes away. And they're waiting for the orders to come. Listen to Biden as he claims that, yeah, everything's being taken care of. It's just perfect. Clip 10.
What do the states in the storm zone need, Mr. President?
Sorry?
What do the states in the storm zone, what do they need after what you saw today?
Oh, in the storm zone?
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering what storm you're talking about. They're getting everything they need. And they're very happy across the board.
He doesn't even know what storm they're talking about. And then he kind of wakes up and says they're getting everything that they need, and they're happy. No, take a spin through social media. They're not happy. They're angry. How, even looking at this politically, I mean, how does this help Kamala in North Carolina and Georgia? Both swing states. Both of them, I mean, it's neck and neck. I mean, I guess there's some that argue maybe some of these flood victims are going to have a hard time in a month to vote, given the extent of the damage. And maybe that hurts Trump in some ways. But how, if you're on the fence in North Carolina or Georgia, how do you look at this and say, you know what? I want more of Kamala. I want more of Joe Obama. I want more of the dear leader. They don't, I mean, it. She gets the word. Think of this for a moment. She goes up and stands in front of the camera and says, hey, we've got $750 for you. If that was a real leader, when she's handed that from whoever it was, the powers that be, she says, are you kidding me? $750? That for a family of four, that's like five or six outings at a restaurant, and then it's gone. Listen again to the exchange with Corey Mills and Laura Ingraham from last night, clip 16.
Well, I keep watching these social media posts, Congressman, of folks who've gotten their cell phones powered up somehow. And these are moms with two and three kids who say, we've run out of diapers. We have very, very little food left. And we keep hearing about supplies, but where are they? Like, how, I keep saying this, how are we a superpower when we leave our people stranded? And yet every time Zelensky comes into town, he gets another, $200 million.
Yeah. Well, Laura, think about it. There's been a complete pattern of abandonment under Biden and Harris. Let's go through it for a moment and just recall what it was. 2021, you got the Afghan botched withdrawal. I conducted the first overland rescue successfully of an American, a mother and three children from Amarillo, Texas, before they were willing to try and get anyone out, and even grounding aircraft over in Kunduz. Then you've got, fast forward to October 7th, the most horrendous incident that's ever happened, barbarism in Israel. I was on the ground 4 days later conducting the first rescues, 32 people out of Tiberias, Nazareth, and Haifa. Then with 255 in total that we ended up getting out before the administration sent a single plane in. Then let's go back to just April and May, where we had to go into Haiti after the war-torn area collapsed under the gangs and rescued the first 23 Americans by Hilo Rescues and 59 children who are being left behind. This administration, what the pattern is, you have to shame them into doing what is
right. It's a dereliction of duty.
He's exactly right. They have to be shamed into action. Trump shows up first, and then finally the fake president and Kamala come around to visiting the air, and it's awkward. And she says $750. And Joe Biden says, you know, there's no more resources, but they're happy. They've got everything that they need. A pattern of abandonment. You see it from the get-go, Afghanistan. That was in the first year of this illegitimate presidency. A pattern of abandonment. Of course, I didn't even realize that Mills was over in Israel helping after October 7th. I mean, somebody put that man in charge. At least he acts with courage. At least he does something. Now he's down in North Carolina and Georgia. He's doing something. You don't see that coming from the administration that's attacking America from within. All they see the opposition, the political opposition, as the greatest enemy in the world. They embrace Hamas. They want the nuclear factories in Iran. They don't want them to be taken out by Israel. Joe Biden said so the other day. Who says this? That would make the world safer in just one fell swoop. Taking out those nuclear installations. But no, they want those intact. They want Hamas to survive. They want Hezbollah to survive. They want to give free hotel and food and cash to Venezuelan men, young, single men. No women, no children coming along, just military age men. Just invite them in and let them take over Manhattan. And if Eric Adams criticizes you, indict him. Put him in jail. He's just doing what every other Democrat does. But, I mean, if you get on their wrong side, you become a target. You have to be taken out. You need to be blotted out. You need to be eliminated. You're the enemy. And they will unleash every lever of power in this government, in this deep state, in this swamp, to take you out. And the only one that's been able to stand against it is Donald Trump, which is why they tried to actually assassinate him with a bullet. Take him out. Take him out. And then all these details. Now the DOJ, they're saying, hey, we need more time with the second guy, Ruth. We've discovered more information, so we're going to delay our investigation. We don't want it to go to court too fast. So now you've got the ongoing investigation situation. They love that. They love it when the investigation just goes on and on and on forever, because then they can hide behind it. We can't get into that, Senator, because the investigation's ongoing. We can't reveal sources or methods. This is some evil of the highest order. You think of the scriptures that talk about the principalities and powers in high places. Listen again to the exchange between Mills and Ingram, clip 17.
But also, he's failed to utilize Title 10 to help our Department of Defense to be able to deploy out. You've got Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Cherry Point, Camp Lejeune, Pope Air Force Base. We got aviation regiments who could have been here immediately. Then he shows up 6 days later making promises that likely won't be kept. We've talked to a FEMA individual today who said, well, if they want to know where we're at, all they have to do is track what the media is reporting. These are people without houses, without power. And then she said, oh, well, maybe they can just get into their cars and charge their phone and turn it on to find out where we are.
It's amazing. He makes the same point that the American Mind piece makes. There's military bases all around, but no one is there to help. They're waiting for their orders. And here we are, a week out of this disaster. If it was Haiti, you know, the little island taken over by the cannibals, we will send the military straight away to protect Americans or to rescue those seeking asylum. Here's clip 18.
Congress keeps greenlighting these massive spending bills and just, oh, it's a rush. It's before Christmas. It's before Christmas. We got to sign it. And then meanwhile, there's a huge amount of money being used for non-Americans, illegal immigrants. So they get all the money. And these people are seeing their houses float away. And then Kamala comes in and says, we'll give you $750 for immediate needs. This is crazy. This is crazy stuff.
Laura, it's even crazier that I went into Pensacola, Florida, not a single federal government agent's been there. We had the chief come to us and say, we just had four fatalities. Two people just washed down the river. They couldn't recover the bodies on. And his exact quote, and I'm not paraphrasing, when he said, we'll be uncovering and unburying bodies until the end of the year.
Well, Pete Buttigieg doesn't want anyone flying drones in the area. He's worried about that. I think part of this is, I think they don't want Americans to really see the extensive nature of this damage.
She's right. I mean, it's an attack. But they also don't want Americans to see dead bodies just float. I'm old enough to remember Hurricane Katrina back in 2005. There's a lot of talking heads today that have their own show because they became famous by going straight down to where the flooding was happening in New Orleans. They were reporting from the scene. Where is that today? You've got to go to social media to hear from a victim that still has cell phone service, I guess. Tell you what's going on. Buttigieg, no drones. The federal authorities, no helicopters into that region. We'll arrest you. And what we're going to give you is $750. And if you want to figure out where we are, FEMA, then, hey, just turn on the news. And you can see where we're positioned, where we're stationed. This is a war. My father said way back at the start of last year, Trump, he's got to be ready for war. That's what this is. It's a war that's playing out. It's bitter affliction, to use the language of 2 Kings 14. bitter affliction. And God's looking at it. He's surveying the scene. And he's about to intervene to save America by the hand of Jeroboam. This is from CNBC. It says the Federal Emergency Management Agency, there's FEMA, that's what it stands for. It's for emergencies. Well, we've got one going on right now, and they're offering $750. And Mayorkas says, we're out of money. If a second hurricane comes, we're not going to have money for that either. We've already given it to the Venezuelans. I hope you're okay with that. It says, which in the past year has operated on a tight budget, has been coordinating the recovery response to Helene. It says, on October 7, FEMA triggered its immediate needs funding status as money ran low in its disaster relief fund. That meant the agency would only spend on immediate disasters and paused its longer-term rebuilding efforts across the country. The headline here, Helene recovery could cost $34 billion. $34 billion. Now, we've sent $250 billion to Ukraine. That's no problem. That's a definite. I mean, that's a have to. You've got to send Zelensky $250 billion. Who's going to pay the $34 billion? You think Joe Obama's going to run in there and say, hey, don't you worry, you American citizens. $34 billion. I mean, the other angle to this, too, is just the curses that are setting in. This was a devastating storm. And we're only now seeing a lot of the details play out. Listen to Jesse Waters as he slams the response to the hurricane and exposes so many hypocrites that have their telethons and their fundraisers when it suits their narrative. But with this, I mean, it's silence. You get 18 minutes on Morning Joe about the New York Mets and Bruce Springsteen. This is clip 8.
If these were Democrat precincts, would Kamala handle this the same way? I'm not even sure it's fair to speculate, but Republican counties have been the hardest hit, and there's an election coming up. How are people going to vote if their polling places and mailboxes are obliterated? But voting secondary, safety is the number one priority. And we're not saying there's an agenda, but why has the federal response been so inadequate? And Hollywood doesn't care. Where's George Clooney raising money? Where's the telethon? Same thing happened in East Palestine. Same thing happens when a migrant brutalizes a little girl. Silence. People who weaponize virtue have nothing to say when 5 states get wiped out.
Silence. That's what you get when the migrants rape teenage girls, when the Southeast is just devastated by this disaster, this hurricane. Silence. The chemical spill in East Palestine, as you heard there. Silence. Here again, it was the real president that went in first. Buttigieg, Kamala, Joe Biden, they all went missing. They don't care about that rural Ohio town. They don't care about Western North Carolina. It says a lot about the priorities, what they pay attention to and what they ignore. As I've said so many times before, it tells you everything that you need to know. When we come back, we'll finish off today's show with a few emails that we've gotten in recent days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Daily News. Bible prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to TrumpetDaily.com.
If you'd like to email the program with some feedback, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. One viewer writes, heard the program today and you couldn't be more on point. Every day your program hits the issues with such specificity. It's just stunning. Who could argue that God is not directing you all, it says. Thank you and your staff for such a hard-hitting news show. God is truly with you because you are crying aloud. What is wrong with the nations of Israel? Keep up the good work that you have been appointed to do. Cry aloud and spare not. I read that in a message I gave yesterday, Isaiah 58 and verse 1. You know, that's one thing that really does stand out to me, more so than ever, I suppose, just going through some of the material for Life and Teachings of Christ, a class we have here at God's College. Just how courageous and bold. John the Baptist was a voice crying out in the wilderness. Jesus Christ. Read about his message on the last great day in John 7. It says he stood up and he cried. He screamed. That, you know, I heard a lot of the coverage last night. At some point, you kind of reach the point of being speechless. I guess that's a little unusual for me anyway, but in my view, there needs to be a little bit more crying out from those that actually cover these stories. You have the one side that doesn't even care to tell you about it. But even those that do, I think a little more passion and zeal is in order. I just noticed a clip from, I think it was a tweet from Laura Logan, who was on this show. We've interviewed her before, but she sent out a tweet saying, you know, how much longer will Americans put up with this? I mean, we're reaching a boiling point. It makes you wonder what's going to happen around November 5. This one here says, what a refreshing Trumpet Daily for October 1st. This was the show we put together from our exhibit ceremony on September 22nd. It was great to hear Brad McDonald speak, the children sing so sweetly, to hear you speak about the kingdom of David and Solomon and what is going on in Edmond, Oklahoma. Mr. Malone and his family were wonderful as well, all of them so talented. And then Mr. Dinesh D'Souza, he's such a good speaker, and what he said was so true. God is working out a plan here below. Thank you so very much for a wonderful hour in broadcasting. This one seemed to go much faster than usual because I felt I could have listened another hour because of the subject. God bless all of you in your church. Well, that's a nice positive note to finish off on. That was Tuesday's show. If you want to go back to our websites, TrumpetDaily.com or the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily, you can scroll down and view that exhibit ceremony that we had from September 22nd. It really and truly is a tremendous uplift. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thank you for joining us on today's show. Thank you for joining us all week. We'll see you next time.